Tuesday, 1 March 16, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Sure do thank you for tuning into the Calvary Hour today. We are in such interesting scripture. We're in Ezekiel chapter 8, and then we're also today beginning in Revelation chapter 3. We see why God had to go far from his people, send them into captivity. And then in chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation, we're looking at the seven letters, to the seven churches that were in Asia Minor, realizing that they were local churches and also that they represent, I truly believe, a segment. Each one of them represents a segment or time frame or so forth of the church age. Father, do bless us now with thy word. What wonderful scripture we're in. Oh, may we learn, may we heed, may we believe, may we receive. Lord, may we be obedient to thee. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In the book of Ezekiel, God brings Ezekiel in the spirit back to Jerusalem to show him why he had to go far off from his people. In verses 5 and 6, then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now, the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? But turn thee again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. In verse 4, he had just made the statement, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there. And what he was going to show Ezekiel is why the glory of the God of Israel had to leave. And here in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, as we see the problems in five of these seven churches, we can learn much from this. And realizing that sin is usually a cumulative, starting with leaving their first love at the church in Ephesus and tracking through these different churches, until we'll come down, God willing, to the last of the church age, the church at Laodicea, where I am firmly convinced we're living in that church age now. But now let's look at chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, the message to the church in Sardis, unto the angel of the messenger, I believe the pastor of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. As I have told you, in addition to, all these problems in these churches can affect any and all of us, dear friend, but this really strikes at my heart here. A testimony without a life to back it up. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Isn't that something? Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. I wonder today how many great institutions in this country one time had a name that they lived, but now they're dead. I wonder how many churches in this country one time had a name that they lived, but they're dead. And they seem to go on, they seem to run on the momentum of what they used to be. You know, we find this out real quickly in our spiritual lives. You can't go but so far on momentum. You can't go but so far on what we, quote, used to be, end quote. We can't go but so far on a testimony that we used to have. You know, a good example of this, just a practical example, is an automobile that has had the energy to go up a hill, and then at the top of the hill, it runs out of gas. Well, it can run down the hill, and by the way, it can bottom out and go partway up another hill because it is running on momentum. But you know it's not going to be able to keep it going because it's out of gas. Now, the Bible makes it clear here, God makes it clear that they had not, everything there had not died. Some things had died. Think about how many churches the prayer meeting has died. Man, folks just don't have any prayer meetings anymore. How many churches the Sunday night service has died? They just don't have them anymore. How many churches the Sunday school has died? They just don't have it anymore. You see, dear friend, we have to be careful about what we have and not let what we have die. That's why he said in verse 25 of chapter 2, but that which you have already, hold fast until I come. Hold fast till I come. Now, I'm concerned about this. I want to have a good testimony for the Lord, and I no doubt can hear by faith, amens coming from the hearts and lives of many of you out there today. We want a good testimony for the Lord. We don't want to just live on past momentum. Just like I had some breakfast this morning, and thank the Lord for my precious wife who prepared it, and I thanked her for it. I really enjoyed it, giving me some strength for today, for this body. And you know what? Tomorrow, I'll be eating again. In fact, later today, I'll probably be eating again. Why? Because I need that constant refilling to give fuel to this body. And that which is true physically is also true spiritually. We need to constantly be refilled. For though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You know, there's a precious portion of Scripture over in the book of Isaiah that I think is applicable here. And the situation we put our Lord in when we're not living for Him, well, let's just say when through negligence or positive action, sins of omission or sins of commission, we're sinning against the Lord. This is in Isaiah chapter 43. I call Isaiah the gospel of the Old Testament. Here he is rebuking Jacob for his not serving the Lord, but serving his sins. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. That's what their idolatrous worship had required, but God hadn't required that. Verse 24, thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. And here's the statement I want to get to. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father hath sinned, that was Adam, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary and have given Jacob to the curse and Israel to reproaches. Now, what happens is this. The Holy Spirit of God indwells the heart of every believer. He literally seals us in 2 Corinthians 1:22, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts, Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And we're instructed that if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. What I'm simply saying is this, the blessed Holy Spirit is with us. He witnesses all that we are, all that we do, all that we think, and that ought to be enough to get all of us under conviction and realize we need to ask God to give us, as David said, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. And may I live a life that's pleasing to Him because we literally take Him or He goes with us wherever we are. And God said to Jacob, He said that thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Not that God approves of it, not that God has anything to do with it, but we sure do bring Him into bad situations when we are in the wrong place with the wrong people, doing the wrong things or thinking the wrong thoughts. Father, give us grace to live for Thee, O God, that our lives might bring glory to Thee and be a good testimony for Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. May our Lord be pleased to bless us and make us a channel of his blessing. And please join us next broadcast if you can.